Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go now to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, now as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Father, to come forward and to take this service and bring to each and every one of us what you would have us to learn and to hide in our hearts so that we can walk upright according to your will and your way and not ours or man's way. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 11th chapter here of Luke. And we find Luke a little different in his writing, but it all has the same background and the same meaning as we have read coming through Matthew and Mark. Now, here in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." You see, in Luke, we have found John the Baptist being used more here in Luke than we have in the others. Now, verse 2, "And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Now you see, when you really look at this prayer that Jesus is giving them, he's using both heaven and earth, letting us know that we are to walk on this earth as we would in his kingdom. And he goes on here now in 3 and says, give us day by day our daily bread. Can you and are you depending on God for the things you need daily and following him and putting him first day by day? Most of us don't. But that's something that man needs to be doing, and he wouldn't have to worry about his daily bread. 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, this prayer is covering a whole lot of things that we need to be doing and living, but most are not. We'll go to God and ask for forgiveness for ourselves, but most are not forgiving those that has done things against them or said things against you. In fact, they hold more or less a grudge, and they are trying to figure out how they can get back at them and get even with them. And that is the wrong attitude for you and I to have. And this prayer is letting us know these things. Now, we would end that prayer right there in verse 4, according to Luke here, with the word, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. 6. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. You see, the example here is that when someone comes to you and I for help, we should not be using excuses in order not to be of help. We should help all that we can. Now, so you see, as this example he's using, his children being in bed asleep to keep them from getting up to give this man the help he needs, which is the three loaves. Now eight. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. That's what should be done. Now, nine. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Those three things. Are you walking with those three things in your life? Are you going to the Father and asking? And are you seeking the Lord above all else? And are you knocking in order to get things, and especially the Word of God, opened up to you and your understanding? And he's telling us this is what we need to do. 10. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. There's no mights, there's no maybes for any of the three. It's all a certainty. Now, but remember that a lot of this is for those that belongs to his family. 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Now, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Letting us know here what most of us, even as men, would not do. And he's using it as an example. All to come to this, the 13th verse. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You see, what are you really asking God for? Is it just the things of this world that you're asking him for? Or are you asking for things of his kingdom? And so that you can get into his kingdom. Now, 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. This one, he couldn't speak at all. He was considered dumb because he had a dumb spirit. But now, that spirit is gone, and he can speak. 15. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. 16. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. You see, they're always questioning everything that he does. And now they're even wanting him to show them assurances by giving them a sign from heaven. 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, you see, he knows your every thought before you even speak it. And he says unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. 18. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. 19. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. We letting them know straight out. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. He's trying to let them know, especially through the things that he is doing, who he is. But most don't understand this. And they're always standing, accuse him to find some way to destroy him. Now, 21. When a strong man armed pardon me, keepeth his place, his goods are in peace. Now you see, Mark and Matthew stated that a different way. The same thing. 22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor within he trusted, and divided his spoils. Now, 23. That is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scatter. In other words, those of us that are not with him, not talking to others about him, not sharing him with us, and we're standing against him, you know, We cause others to be scattered instead of coming to the Lord God. Now, 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through a dry place, seeking rest, and finding none, he said, I will return unto my house whence I came out. Even though a spirit leaves you and he's out, he is hunting somewhere to go. And you need to be praying that he finds somewhere else to go. And you need to be standing where he has to leave you alone. Because if you aren't, he's going to return. Now, he says here in 24, and he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He said, I will return unto my house whence I came out. 25. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. You see, we don't need to be playing with the things of this world here and playing with evil things, because it can only worse. Now, 27. And it shall come to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But Jesus said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Just hearing the word, just reading and studying the word is not good enough. We have to receive that, take it in and bring it into our lives and bring it to life, so that it is at work. Now, then we can be blessed. 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. Now, what is the meaning of that verse? Why is he giving it? He's letting them know that the main sign that will be given to mankind is that of Jonah, which is also his death and his resurrection. You see, just as Jonah was in the belly of that great fish 3 days, and then it spit him out on the shore, and he went on and done what God told him to do to start with. If he'd have done what he was told to do, he wouldn't have had to have spent 3 days in that great fish's belly. Now, 30. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. See, he's letting you know that the two go together. We just read about 3 and 29. That and that was the reason for him giving that. Now, 31. The queen of the south shall raise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And we know that, but now he's talking about himself. 32. The men of Nineveh shall raise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And yet, so many is standing against him and rejecting him and what he has to say. That's why he's letting them know this. Now, 33. No man, when he has lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. You know, we are supposed to be a light to the world. What kind of light are they seeing of you, or are they seeing any light at all? Now, 34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. And you see, what is mankind seeing of us when we are out getting about? Are they seeing light, or are they seeing darkness? 35. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. You see, you want that light of God shining forth from you. Always. 36. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle does give thee light. In other words, you want that light to be pure and of God. And when that is true, then those that see you are seeing that light of Almighty God that is within you. And then that gets them to thinking and realizing that you have something they don't, and they begin to want it. And then they can be helped to be brought to the light, and that light being Jesus, so that they can repent and begin their journey on making their way home to heaven. Because it is a journey. And they have to fulfill those things along the way that God's word has given to us to complete and to fulfill, which is the plan of salvation. 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Now he's invited him in, but yet he's got something here to complain about, because he didn't wash his hands before he sat down to dinner. 39. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravaging and wickedness. In other words, he's letting him know, yes, you wash your hands and all before sitting down to the table to eat, but you're not clean inside. You still have that evil inside. You clean the outside, but you leave the inside full of dirt. Now, ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? 41. But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. 42. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue, and all manner of herbs, and Passover judgment, and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. In other words, he's letting them know that the tithes and all that they are giving, they should still give, but they are also to have the love of God. To where they can pass judgment. What about you and I? If we to stand before the Lord God today, can you pass his judgment? Do you know that you will pass his judgment to be able to enter into his kingdom? Now, 43. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and greetings in the markets. In other words, they're wanting to be placed in the highest of places. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves, which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. You see, he letting them know that all they although they claim a lot of things, they're hypocrites. And they are as graves. In other words, they're dead, even while they are living, because they are separated from Almighty God. Now, 45. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. 46. And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touched not the burdens of one of your fingers. They're not there to help. They're not there to help them with the burdens at all. They won't touch it with even with their fingers. 47. And he goes on with a warning to them. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. He said, you dig the sepulchres, then your fathers does the killing of the prophets. That's what he's talking about there. 48. Truly ye bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres. 49. Therefore also, says the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. And it is the same with us today. They are persecuting God's people every day, and in a lot of the places in the world, they are already sentencing them to death. And don't think that it cannot happen here, because unless we get things changed here in our land, the same thing is going to be going on here, and sooner than you think. Now, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. 51. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. My Bible gives us to that verse to go to Matthew 23:35. Well, you know, let's run over it real quick. See what that verse has got to say. 23:25. Here's what it says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. You know, I told you, they were just a little difference in wording, but the meaning is the same. 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that are entering in ye hindered. You wouldn't come in yourselves, and you're trying to hinder those that are trying to get in. 53. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. You see, they're always looking for something to tear him down and to bring destruction to him. You would think that after a while, they'd wise up enough to know to leave him alone. But they don't. Because you see, for one, they don't know his word because they won't accept it. And without today, without the Holy Spirit, mankind cannot understand the Word of God. Without him knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and standing firm with him and listening to the voice of God through his word that is given to us by the Holy Spirit, he will never be able to understand this word. And we're told that in this word. All right, we have come to the end now. Chapter 11, we're going to be stopping there. God willing, we'll get into chapter 12 tomorrow morning. It's another long one, 59 verses. Because you see, we're getting closer to the Lord's death. And we are to where we need a greater understanding. And Jesus is teaching his disciples greater things also, getting them ready for what is coming. All right, now, as we close his word, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, Father, to give us the guidance, the knowledge, and the understanding that we need as we study. And help us, Father, to rejoice in receiving the knowledge and the wisdom of your word, Father. And give us joy in teaching and speaking this word to others to help to bring them to knowledge of knowing that they need something more than themselves, that they need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to make heaven their home. Now, Father, as we pray for Israel and Jerusalem, for peace for them, But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And Father, those of your children, wherever they are in the world, may the Holy Spirit keep them in health, keep them safe, and see to their needs. This land of ours, Father, us, Father, to come together in our belief of your word. Help us to stand together, Father, in this word, so that those that are evil, that is sitting in the seats of leadership in our government and our churches, Father, can be removed and replaced by those that belong to you and work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, again today I'm praying for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for Amy and her husband Tom, their son Jacob, for James Taylor, for Millie and Bobby Johnson, and Father, for that young couple that I was telling you about, Courtney and Jane and Shane. Father, that couple needs the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. May they find him, Father, quickly and get right. Now, Father, myself and all of our families, we all have family members that are not right with the Lord. And we're praying for them, Father, that the Holy Spirit can work with them and bring them out of darkness and to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can all be saved and make heaven their home. My Father, as we separate this evening and through the night, keep us all in health. Keep us safe. And bring us back together again in the morning, Father, at 10 a.m. and back into your word. Father, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless all. Have a good night. Bye-bye now.